layers and sociopolitical depth. This wasn't just another story about the same small-town cis-het white family we see again and again in horror. My next read by her was her most popular book, No One Rides for Free, a truly vile and purposefully disgusting, unself-consciously heinous tale of over-the-top violence and cruelty. Unlike The Clown Hunt, there was no underlying socio-political message to it. No One Rides for Free is exactly what those who revile hardcore horror despise, a story that exists for no other reason than to shock and repulse. If The Clown Hunt was splatterpunk, No One Rides for Free was the most extreme of extreme horror. The stories in this book are not like either of those. Despite its title, Terror, Horror, Agony is quiet horror, with perhaps one or two exceptions. Where Judith's other work roared and raged, this whispers and suggests. It is thought-provoking and at times touching. These stories still contain Judith's trademark array of diverse characters, but missing is the gore and gru. This is punk rock putting down the electric guitar in exchange for an acoustic one. But most importantly, most impressive in my mind, these stories are still about something. Something beyond the terror. This is a true work of self-expression, a work of art. Tolstoy said of art, "There is one indubitable indication distinguishing real art from its counterfeit, namely, the infectiousness of art. If a man, without exercising effort and without altering his standpoint on reading, hearing, or seeing another man's work, experiences a mental condition which unites him with that man and with other people who also partake of that work of art, then the object evoking that condition is a work of art. And however poetical, realistic, effectful, or interesting a work may be, it is not a work of art if it does not evoke that feeling. To evoke in oneself a feeling one has once experienced, and having evoked it in oneself, then, by means of movements, lines, colors, sounds, or forms expressed in words, so to transmit that feeling that others may experience the same feeling, this is the activity of art. In other words, art is about expressing thoughts, ideas, and emotions. It is self-expression, and only this. It is not entertainment. Its purpose is not to give you joy or pleasure, but to connect the audience with the artist. It isn't that you are not supposed to be entertained or find joy in art, but that entertainment is not its primary purpose. Its primary purpose is to make you think and feel what the artist wants you to think and feel. And the degree of success the artist has in evoking in their audience the precise thoughts and feelings they intended to elicit is the only true judge of art. Keep that in mind as you read this book, and judge it by that standard. Ask yourself what Judith wanted you to think and feel about each story, and if she did it. Because this book is more than entertainment. It is more than mere escapism. It is not a repeat of all you have come to expect from Judith Sonnet. It is Judith expressing herself however the fuck she wants to, and that's punk as fuck. Wrath, James White, March 29th, 2025. Graveyard Dirt. The new house wasn't bad at all. It was big enough for Samantha to hide away when she wanted to, and there were plenty of rooms to explore. Also, there was a church on the property. It was a short walk down along the side of the gravel road and then around a sharp corner. The church was a historical building, so it was kept in near-perfect antiquity. Stepping inside the building was like stepping through a portal and back in time. Even though the church was on their property, it was owned by the Historical Society, so there were sometimes old folks who came around to check on things and glare disapprovingly at Samantha if they found her reading or journaling where she shouldn't be. Between the church and the house, there was a stretch of thick forest. They were deep in the hills, but this forestry reminded young Samantha more of the Amazon jungles than the Missourian backwoods. The trees grew close, as if they lusted after one another. The shrubs and bushes were as thick as facial hair,